This is City of Avondale State's Board of Mayor Commissioners work session, April 26, 2023. It is 6 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We have an agenda before us. Do I have a motion to adopt?
So moved.
That was Lionel. Do I have a second? That was D. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. First item of discussion, discussion of sanitation program and services. Mr. Manager.
Yes, so this is renewal of the discussion that we've had at previous work sessions to determine whether the current sanitation program that is provided by the city is one that we want to continue or to alter in any way. So far, we have had two sessions where we've heard from employees within the sanitation division of the Public Works Department speak about their experiences with the current sanitation program. And then we also had a session where we discussed the impact of the sanitation program on the ability to operate the Public Works Department program in a whole, meaning what impact does the sanitation program have on our ability to also perform green space related activities? At the conclusion of that, staff was provided direction by the board to go provide materials that would be available to the public so that they could follow along on this discussion. That included previous information and then new information about potential solutions or alternatives moving forward. So tonight, I am going to present you with that presentation, a presentation that we will then make available to the public on our website following the conclusion of the meeting. We are not looking for any decisions to be made tonight. In fact, a lot of the data that I will present to you is rough because a lot of it would not be able to be produced unless a change in the program were made and bid packages were issued. So we've done our best to provide you estimates of what we think cost might be for several different scenarios, and I will walk you through each of those scenarios as we move through the presentation. So, Kirk, if you would. There we go. Okay. In 2022, we logged 420 days of unplanned sick leave in the Public Works Department. We came to attribute this to physical injury and mental exhaustion from the practice of twice weekly backdoor sanitation service. As we further dug into the issue, we heard stories from our sanitation staff that included attacks by unleashed pets, exposure to vermin and other insects from unbagged waste, chronic pain developed from lifting and walking, and then antagonistic and potentially demeaning interactions with residents. So 420 days lost to unplanned sick leave is equivalent to 3,360 man hours, and 2,080 man hours or 260 work days is how we determine a single full-time equivalent position. So as we discussed in the previous work session, that unplanned sick leave led to a loss of 1.6 full-time equivalent employees from peak conditions. And peak conditions would mean that nobody takes any unplanned sick leave, weather is perfect, and all of our vehicles work in perfect harmony all the time. But we know that that is not reality. We lose an additional 2.4 FTE annually to inclement weather, vehicle and equipment failure, and that, as I will illustrate later, that vehicle and equipment failure is actually increasing on an annual basis because of the age of the fleet that we currently have in the sanitation division. So what does that mean? That means that the Public Works Department is essentially four FTE short from being able to perform all of the duties that are required to conduct the program, both sanitation and green space, in a manner that not only I think the board would like to see, but our residents have come to expect, our businesses have come to expect, and staff ourselves have come to expect of ourselves. Next slide. So in order to essentially make up for the four FTE short department short of peak conditions, essentially four additional employees would need to be hired within the department to make up for the loss of that equivalent man hour or manpower. So here's kind of how it shakes out in terms of what we're able to do with the Public Works program as a whole. So sanitation or solid waste pickup is the priority. We're able to forgo green space activities, but we're not able to forgo picking up solid waste for many reasons, most notably a public safety issue. So anytime we have sanitation division unplanned sick leave, what we do is we transition folks from the green space division crews over to the sanitation crews to ensure that the sanitation program is fulfilled on a daily basis. So essentially what that results is the service delivery of green space activities becoming impaired. And so if the green space activities that we perform are constantly being impaired by the transition of green space employees over to sanitation, then we can't catch up unless we perform those activities after normal business hours. As we have previously discussed as well, there is an additional impact on our ability to perform both sanitation and green space activities because of an aging vehicle fleet and aging equipment. Most of the vehicle fleet within the sanitation division has aged well past its useful lifespan of 7 years. The newest of the three garbage trucks that we employ is 7 years old, meaning that traditionally, if we had a best practice vehicle replacement program, our newest garbage truck would be aging out of the fleet after the conclusion of this year. For even further perspective, the oldest leaf vacuum truck is almost 25 years old. It is a 1999 vehicle. We just got that vehicle back from the diesel mechanic after 8 consecutive months of service. So we were not able to deploy the oldest of the leaf vacuum trucks during leaf season. So this past leaf season, we used the newest leaf truck to perform all of that work. And you would hope that the newest leaf truck is actually new, but that truck is 19 years old, so it's almost 20 years old. In order to try and catch up on leaf collection and green space activities, Public Works had to use hundreds of hours of OT at the end of the year to catch up on those activities. And of course, that cost the city additional resources that it would otherwise not have to expend if the manpower and equipment were sufficient enough to perform those activities during the course of normal business hours.
OT is overtime?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I said earlier in the presentation, but would like to illustrate now, vehicle repairs and maintenance for sanitation vehicles and equipment totaled $96,000 in 2022. To put that in perspective, we budgeted for $50,000 in repair and maintenance costs in the sanitation fund. Due to the age of the fleet, those costs are continually rising, and they're beginning to exponentially rise because some of those vehicles, like that, those leaf vacuum vehicles, are so old. Our other two garbage trucks are well past their useful life too. So if you'll go to the next slide. A new thing I want to begin to discuss is how this is all, what the cost is and how this is all paid for. So as we also discussed in a previous meeting, there was an item on the agenda from the DeKalb County Commission last month for a potential increase in their tipping fees. Tipping fees are those fees assessed to organizations that are dumping solid waste into the county landfill. Currently, those tipping fees for the city of Avondale Estates are $33 per ton. The proposed increase of those tipping fees by the county was an additional $62 per ton to $95 per ton, which would roughly result in a $115 per resident increase in the sanitation fee.
Wait, hold on. So is the fee being proposed increased from $33 per ton to $62 per ton, or from $33 per ton to $95 per ton?
$33 to $95, so a $62 increase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And one more time, the 115 per resident.
Yes, if it were increased if that $62 per ton increase were to be passed, that would result in an increase of $115 per household
per year.
Correct. So we know right offhand that the current sanitation fee that y'all just approved would not be sufficient to cover the cost of the sanitation program if the tipping fee item were to be adopted at the county level.
And that was $596?
Correct. And we also know that the current sanitation fee is not sufficient for the staffing level needed to perform all the baseline departmental tasks. And we also know that the current fee is insufficient to generate enough capital for sanitation to replace its aging fleet in an ideal manner. So we have provided you with three different scenarios for the sanitation program moving forward. Scenario one is to keep everything the same. The service the same. So essentially, twice weekly backdoor residential solid waste, once weekly curbside recycling, leaf pickup, special yard waste pickup, all of the green space services that we currently perform, commercial solid waste hauling, no change to the program as we currently provide. So in order to do that most effectively, we have assessed the vehicles that we would need to replace and the projected cost thereof, and the personnel changes that we would recommend to be made and the cost of those. And then on the far right column, we show you what impact that would have to the sanitation fee and or the general fund. So if we were to continue providing the current program, we would need to replace two of the three garbage trucks, meaning that the newest garbage truck, which would ordinarily age out of the fleet at the end of this year, would become the backup vehicle, the third truck. We would need to replace the F-550 dump truck for special pickups. The F-550 is almost as old as the leaf trucks. And then get four new Leaf vehicles. Those four vehicles would be two trucks and then two Leaf vacuums, all four of which are beyond their useful life. So the sum total of all of those vehicle and equipment needs would be $920,000. And we thought the best approach to establishing a replacement schedule would be to phase those purchases over a five-year period. So essentially what you're looking at is $184,000 of capital expenditures in the sanitation fund on an annual basis. And if you'll give me 1 second, currently we have $85,000 budgeted on an annual basis in the sanitation fund for capital expenditures. So this is recommending an additional $99,000 annually in order to replace that vehicle fleet. Then we recommend making up that four FTE deficit by hiring four non-managerial floating workers. And what we mean by floating workers is positions that are split 50-50, or the compensation packages for each of those is split 50-50 between the sanitation fund and the general fund, so that those persons can be allocated based on a daily basis for what activities need performing, whether that is to make up for call outs in the sanitation division, or to make up for call outs in the green space division, or just depending on, you know, the activities necessary to be completed for the day. Those would essentially be utility players, if you will, to use a baseball analogy. Each fund would be responsible for an additional approximately $87,000 in new employment compensation expenditures.
So it actually is double this number that you're showing here.
Right. It's split.
Looking at the sanitation as an enterprise fund, but
that's right.
The actual cost to the city would be twice this.
That's correct. Yes. And so that next column illustrates what that would mean roughly. So in order to ensure that we were able to provide our services the way that we believe we need to, that would increase the sanitation fee from $596 a year to $714 a year. And the addition to the general fund would approximately translate into a 0.25 mil increase in the millage rate, unless you could absorb it within the current revenues taken in by the general fund. I'm just trying to translate what that cost is to millage, just for your sake. So if the tipping fees increase were to move forward, that $714 a year sanitation fee would then increase to $829 a year. So that $115 increase based on that tipping fee change is reflected there. So do y'all have any questions? Oh, and one thing I wanted to point out to you, just for another point of reference, a 0.25 mil increase in property taxes roughly equates to $10 for every $100,000 of assessed value in home ownership. Yeah.
What if you lease equipment?
That's essentially kind of how we did the knuckle boom truck. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect it either way, because this is basically assuming that we finance all of these vehicles over a 5 year period.
Done for so done. Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
Okay.
Do y'all have any other questions about scenario one?
I have questions about, so the numbers that you used, where did you get your numbers that two garbage trucks are $200,000 each, an F-550 is $100,000, and the Leaf trucks?
Yeah, we quoted those out.
From where?
Quotes on them.
From where?
We got a couple of from EPG, Environmental. We got one from Waste Built. And this one called Saxon. I think it's over in and not calling it.
So would the, are the garbage trucks the same size as the garbage trucks we have now, or are they?
Yeah,
we talked about some smaller ones too. Get rid of them at the time,
yeah,
potentially.
Those are the ones we're talking about. Those are the 20 yard garbage trucks.
Okay.
They make them 10, 20, 25, and 30.
Okay.
We're talking about 20 yards.
Okay.
And again, these are also kind of, you know, rougher estimates, because until we would go to purchase these things, you know, I didn't want to give y'all a definitive cost, because we just don't know yet. Prices change. So these are kind of a rounded up average of the quotes that we received.
So, and then I guess based on what we paid last year, which was right around $70,000 for dumping fees. Do we dump like 2,100 tons or something like that a year? Do we know what that number might be?
I got the numbers. I can email you the numbers, what they normally runs a year.
And last year was actually a low year. We had our fees had been higher in previous years than last year. And hopefully we attribute that to people producing less waste product, and that trend continues. But that number does tend to fluctuate on an annual basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good to add to the report as you develop it.
Yeah. Well, especially I think to give a better idea, you know, if it was around 2,100, then it'd be about, you know, an $82 difference a year. 1,500 homes, is that what we have?
1,577.
Yeah. Is what we, because again, you know, we have no control over what DeKalb County ultimately does from a tipping fee standpoint. It seems like if you were going to increase, that you would increase it 10 or 15 or 20%, not 300%. But I think that's even wrong. It may be closer to 500%. My math's off. I don't try that high.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, then when will we find out something like that?
We don't know. They have not given us a date at which they will reconsider that item. I do know that the DeKalb municipal governments who are using the DeKalb landfill and would be subjected to that increase have communicated the pain that would cause each of the municipalities, not only because, you know, we plan in advance and set fees, and it would have set our fee in advance of that item being considered, but that, you know, those hikes would be exorbitant and difficult for us to absorb.
Yeah,
one question. Off the top of my head, it's roughly about 200 tons per month between sanitation and yard waste. So you're talking about 200 tons probably monthly.
Okay. And then we do have some new equipment, right? Like not everything is 20 years old in public
works. Just the stuff that we've bought in the last couple of years. So the Kubotas, the Bobcat, and the Knuckle Boom are only the only vehicles save that third garbage truck that are still within their useful lifespan. So everything else is older than the 7-year useful life. All other pieces of equipment.
I think another piece of information that would be helpful for residents to see is if there is a equipment list of our public work stuff with the dates, you know, date of usage and how long it's been, to just see how big of a hole we have, would be another helpful piece of information for folks to understand. Because again, I know, it's great that they've lasted that long. It says something about how well we've taken care of them, but there is a useful life to these things, for sure, to think about. So, yes.
Okay. You want me
to go? Oh, I thought you were done.
Oh, I got two more scenarios.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
It's okay.
I thought you said.
No.
Your comments.
No.
Okay.
I mean, but it's better to question as we go, because now, you know.
Okay, so scenario two assumes a switch to once a week curbside solid waste collection. Once a week curbside recycling collection would still remain. in order to perform this service, the city would need to purchase 96 gallon carts, which perhaps you're familiar with. Those are the traditionally sized carts that DeKalb County uses, for example. And then in order, if we did that, let me run through all of the things that we would need to fund in order to ensure that both sanitation and green space were appropriately staffed and equipped to perform activities. So we would still need to do the same replacement of vehicles for sanitation purposes. So you still have the two garbage trucks. You still have the F-550 dump truck for bulk collection. You still need the leaf vehicles. And then you would have an additional cost for the 96-gallon carts. So that's $175,000. Approximately. So instead of the $184,000 per year in capital expenditures projected in scenario one, you now have a $219,000 annual capital expenditure projected in scenario two. From a personnel standpoint, we believe that the best way to accomplish performing both tasks is to now have six sanitation crew members become 60-40 floaters, meaning that they spend 40% of their time performing green space activities, because now the collection of solid waste takes up less time per week than it would if we were doing the twice weekly backdoor sanitation. In addition, green space would add 2.5 FTE to achieve peak capacity, or just 2 FTE if we wanted to go slightly non-peak. $100,000, we could do a personnel-related $100,000 reduction in sanitation collection, because now that $100,000 would shift to the general fund because of the activities of the employed positions would now be combined between sanitation and green space activities. I misspoke. The floating people had the 2.5 FTE of green space. And then so we would need to hire an additional FTE in green space at a fully burdened rate of $43,400. So that activity results in a sanitation fee that would be $680 per year. And then roughly a 0.5 mil increase in the general fund to cover the cost of the additional employees hired in the green space division. For reference, 0.5 mil increase is roughly $20 per household on $100,000 of assessed value. So a doubling. And I do want to stress that these numbers are not exact. They are rough estimations. Basically, we're saying that a mill is roughly $300,000 of revenue. Okay, so that is scenario two. So to reiterate, scenario two is a switch from twice weekly backdoor to once weekly curbside, still provided by our city staff. Recycling program stays the same. Commercial solid waste program stays the same. Employees who now are not spending 100% of their time doing solid waste collection can now spend time doing green space activities. So some of the burden of the compensation for those employees shift from the sanitation fund to the general fund.
And my question about that is, there is specialized training required for the green space management.
Yes.
You're assuming that those employees would all be cross-trained and have that expertise, because I could see that becoming an issue.
Yes, that is correct. And that is a another consequence of that movement. Yes.
So how?
Undefined by cost.
Right, because I have seen a lot of bad green space work done by people who did not who sure. thought they were doing a good job, but they didn't know what they were doing.
Of course. So, you know, we feel confident that now that we have a green space manager, that that can be more easily achieved. Do we have any other questions about scenario two?
I just want to be clear. So, Patrick, on scenario one, a property tax increase of 0.25 mil would be required.
I'm not saying it would necessarily be required. I'm saying the increase to the general fund would roughly translate to a 0.25 mil increase.
I just thought there'd be a lot more difference between what we are doing currently and once a week, but then I guess you add in the gallon cans and...
Right, and you still have the same vehicle replacement needs. And
do we though?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I understand you're doing it once a week and you need to be able to pick everything up, but couldn't you slow down the vehicle replacement since you're only doing it once a week?
Well, again, our vehicles are already in dire need of replacing. So if you're going to continue to provide the service, then we need to start thinking very seriously about replacing those vehicles. Because you still need to run multiple trucks in order to perform the service if you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Scenario three
assumes an outsourcing of solid waste collection. So that would essentially remove the burden of having to replace the vehicles associated with the collection of solid waste. Not only would it remove that burden, it would allow us to sell the vehicles that were responsible for solid waste collection. However, I want to be very specific that we don't really have the best idea of what we could sell that for, so I have not included that as a factor into using that money to pay for capital replacement. So that is not factored in here whatsoever. So you will see that the only things that would need replacing, because yard waste and bulk collection would remain the purview of the city staff. So the only vehicles that would now need to be replaced would be the F-550, which is the dump truck we use for bulk waste, and then the leaf trucks that we use for leaf collection. That equates to a $108,000 capital expense over a five-year period, which would be an additional $23,000 from what we currently budget for. So a much more reduced capital expense per year. The sanitation division would reduce to 6 full-time non-managerial staff, which would be responsible now for yard waste, leaf collections, events, facilities, roads, stuff like that, sidewalk repair and maintenance, those types of activities. And then green space would hire 2 positions fully funded from the general fund.
Tell me again how many sanitation workers we have now.
Right now we have 9.
So we're only reducing by 3?
Correct.
So the 409, does that include outsourcing the sanitation services?
Yes. So because you would still, so the fee would pay for solid waste sanitation, recycling, capital replacement, and the personnel remaining.
So how much, I guess they quote that fee at a per household or per unit.
Okay. Yes. So we, and I want to remind everybody again that we haven't released an RFP or a bid package.
Yeah.
So we used a provider to give us a rough quote for the purposes of presenting information to you guys. And so we asked GFL Environmental, who does it all. They are a contractor who will provide both solid waste and recycling services, and they have their own private landfill.
And what was their quote per household?
$16
per month.
Per month. And that would be for solid waste and recycling. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of questions for me.
Can I just run through real quickly? So you'll see on that right-hand column that translates to a $409 per year sanitation fee and roughly 0.5 mils in additional employees on the green space division. So I present all of this to you guys to say this. The take backdoor service aside, right? What we really have an issue with is that we aren't currently fully funding the program that we want. So even though our sanitation fee is $596, which seems very expensive, and it is comparatively to other communities, it's still not covering the cost to provide that service because we're unable to replace the fleet with it. We're unable to make up the 4 FTE loss with it. So that's really the point I'm trying to illustrate to you guys now is that, you know, if we want to fully cover the cost of the services we provide, we have to, you know, look at what our fees and taxes are in order to accomplish that task.
Yeah. My question, so
yeah.
All right. So a couple of things, and thank you for putting this together. It's very good work. excuse me. One of the scenario, this outsourcing scenario, does this also take the consideration of letting the county do this?
So the county would. The county, the city of Decatur, any private hauler would have an opportunity to bid on that work.
Okay.
Yep.
So the cost would likely be the same.
I have no clue.
No clue. About
yeah.
That. Okay.
That I can't predict.
Okay. Second, excuse me. In scenario two, which goes back to you know, getting rid of the backdoor service twice a week. Was there any consideration given to automation, specifically the trucks that go out and grab the trash cans off the curb, dump them?
That's what this would be for.
This would be those automated trucks.
That would be the reason for the 96 gallon carts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I'll.
And one point I failed to mention was that our understanding is that, well, we know in the quote that was provided by GFL, the loose quote, that is inclusive of carts. So they would provide carts. We wouldn't own them. They would own them. But
Yeah. So on scenario three, so does that include, is scenario three, the contracted cost, is that for twice a week backdoor pickup?
No.
Okay.
That's once a week curbside.
Once a week curbside.
Using 96 gallon carts.
Okay. And what would happen for events? I mean, we sanitation workers do a lot of great work cleaning up after our events.
Right. So that's essentially becomes the responsibility of the remaining sanitation division employees. So they would be able to take on in a more efficient and regular manner, you know, events without having to do overtime or facility maintenance.
You said sidewalks too.
And sidewalk maintenance and road maintenance and all of those things. All of the public works activities that are non-green space related.
So I just want to make an observation. I mean, the scenario three, you know, the numbers certainly are compelling. And I know we're not into the debate, and I'm hoping we'll have a lot more discussion on this before we get to make a decision. I just have as a reference point when I work for DeKalb County Parks that they decided to privatize the sanitation pickup in the parks. And it actually became a nightmare that we realized that our in-house sanitation workers did a lot of additional things that were not in the contract. And it created a lot of very unhappy park users because of the amount of trash blowing around in the park. The contractor would simply empty the trash cans, whereas our in-house folks would police the areas and those kinds
of
things.
But this is just...
I realize that, and it's probably premature. Having a really, really tight scope of work for the contract is absolutely critical if we to make that kind of comparison. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, so my concern is I think the yard waste pickup is the service. I mean, hands down, that's the service that residents go gaga over. They love it. And I notice in scenario three, Patrick, it says retain yard waste in scenario three, but then down below it says yard waste department would either be funded via general fund or sanitation fee could receive a bump to fund programs. So what I'm concerned is that what we're seeing here on the 409 and the 0.5 mil is not the complete
That is not true, actually. What I'm saying is we could do it. We have flexibility to do it either way.
Okay.
Right. So you don't have to include that as a part of the sanitation fee. You could make that a general fund obligation.
Oh, okay.
There's flexibility there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the correct price. I mean, not as far as we've got. Yes.
Again, I want to stress this is nebulous.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you know, it should give you a feel for
a point of reference. What
things might cost. For example, like I was saying, we don't know if y'all chose scenario three, we don't know what we would get for our in sales, but that money would go to subsidize the capital need. So that would reduce the amount of expenditure necessary for capital and thus reduce the fee.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what that looks like yet.
Thank you.
So, again, I think this is a really good start. I think for residents and, you know, folks that are here, I think it's really important to make sure that as many people in our community know that we're having this conversation as possible. I realize there's a 0% chance that whenever we do make a decision, someone's not going to say, I've never heard of this before. But I think, you know, as wide a net as we could throw to make sure that people know that we're having this conversation, it's important. I think the way that we went ahead and set the fee for the next year gives us, like you said, plenty of time to have this conversation. And I think it's an important one. I mean, again, if you, and I don't want to put too much into the numbers you've given, other than it does sound like you guys have gotten some pretty firm quotes, finish quotes on what equipment needs would be. But if you just look in general, Our sanitation budget collects about $1 million a year today off of what we currently have. The services that we provide today is around $1 million is what we collect in order to provide that service. If you look at Public Works, you know, in 2020, the cost of that department was $656,102. We budgeted for 2023. $900,420. That's an increase of $244,000 on top of it. That would be one thing if we had new trucks, not an aging fleet, and not huge capital needs. But I think once we see that equipment list, we'll pretty clearly see we have some significant capital needs that would have to be either converted from other capital projects we want to do in the city or would result in
higher costs for residents that we really need to take into consideration, because at some point in time, we can't just keep growing. Those things, we ultimately at some point in time have to make a decision. Like you said, we can't pass the buck. But I think I do know, and I think it was before us back in 2010 or something like that, there was some conversation around privatizing public works and sanitation, and residents had a fit over it. So again, I think it's really important that residents know and express their opinions on some of these things, and that we continue to kind of firm up what I think is a really good start on the numbers of the cost, to make sure that people know what it would cost, because clearly we have capital needs that would have to be addressed if we were going to continue to provide. I think I've said all along, you know, I want to, like what Lisa said, I know for me personally as a resident, the most important thing is the yard waste pickup, but a lot of people don't care about their yard the way I care about my yard. You know, and the love, I love the leaf truck pickup and all that stuff. That's important to me. But I also think that we have invested a lot of money. Previous boards invest a lot of money in renovating the lake, Willis Park. We've built two new parks since we've been here. We've allowed the ability hedges finally look good for the first time in about 12 years, I think. We've got a Dewey Brown Plaza that's completely overgrown. We have limitations because of the way that we currently provide services, that we got to figure out what we want to be when we grow up. Do we want to transition from a city that was more focused on providing sanitation services, backdoor pickup twice a week, yard waste pickup, and you know, getting your mail if you're in the historic section, I guess, only at your front door, to one that provides parks and green spaces and other things that are things that residents can enjoy and attend on a Saturday night at the town green, or a Sunday afternoon at Willis Park. You go to Sunday afternoon at Willis Park and take a look at all the kids playing in that park, even that not even when school is in. It's awesome. You go on a spring day and you walk around the lake and you see all the different people walking around the lake and doing a little fishing. It's awesome. That I think is kind of the core of the conversation. We got to decide of what we want to be as we got to move into this next 100 years, and what services we want to be able to provide to our residents. And I think this is a good start to have that conversation. So tell your friends, tell them to write us, tell them to get involved. Yep. So we can hear from them.
Could I expand on that just real quickly? I wanted to ask Patrick, you said it was going to be on the website. Where on the website will it be?
I don't know yet, but.
Okay.
Probably on the public works page.
D, whatever you mean. That website is so easy for people to get to.
So when you reference the material from the previous presentations, could you make sure that the date of those previous presentations are with that material? So if anyone wants to go back and look at that, listen to those audios, they can go back and find it easily.
And even for us that do social media stuff, I mean, this is a good thing if we can get to post out on our.
I was just going to say that. Can we get this file digitally so we can put it on our social media?
We can link to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it sounds like there's going to be updates. So I think it would be best for Patrick to get a final version of this that includes the link to the previous meetings and those kinds of things.
We'll make it happen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Patrick. This was a lot of work and it was very helpful. Yeah.
Well, I want to extend my thanks to our managerial staff in the Public Works Department. All three of them are here. Marcel Jackson, our Public Works Director, Adrian Langston, our Green Space Manager, and Don Huff, our Sanitation Manager. Very, very big-time team effort to put all of this together. And
it really gives us a lot better picture of what some of the options and choices are. So, and I think that gives our public also a way to kind of weigh in on what they would prefer.
Yeah, thanks for the work in putting this together. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, is there some type of timeline you want to set for another discussion? Or
I think we're going to bring this back for discussion. The plan is to just have it as a placeholder on the work session from here on out.
Okay.
So that y'all can choose whether or not you want to further the discussion once you've heard from residents, or if you have any additional questions, or if we have any additional information that we've come across that we would like to provide to you. We're not putting, I certainly don't want to put a time frame on this, because I know that this is an important item for y'all to discuss at length before making any decisions.
I appreciate it. I was just looking for next steps. So yeah, thank you.
Well, it does sound like we really do need to know what the county is going to charge for tipping fees. That's going to have a big impact on.
Yeah. And I can't tell you what.
Yeah.
But when or what that might be.
So is it a matter of public record what the county charges other municipalities for?
Yeah, they have a fee schedule.
They do.
It's not that they charge municipalities necessarily. It's that they charge a per ton tipping fee. And there's just three municipalities that use that.
I meant the other side of it, what they charge municipalities for picking up their trash.
I don't know if they do. They certainly could. But I don't know if they provide sanitation service to any other municipalities right now. So I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
If we did decide to go to wanted to get actual quotes on some of the equipment, or we did decide to go through an RFP process just to see what an actual quote would be on the work, mm-hmm. How long would that take?
It would take us a couple of weeks to develop the RFP, and then we probably want that on the street for 45 days. And then, we could come back
to
60 to 90 days. 60 to 90 days, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And
it's a little easier to obtain. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if we shouldn't have some kind of, I don't know if I want to have a public hearing, but some kind of advertised, we're going to be talking about sanitation, we want public comment tonight.
We've been talking about it for, I don't know how long now. So,
But with this finalized report, with this information that we're moving toward making a decision, we're looking at these different scenarios and we want public input, and just have that advertised as part of our work session. Or
yeah, I mean, even if I think we could send it as an email blast, in the city newsletter, or again, I think we'd be surprised at the reach of some of our social media stuff. Even though I rarely do it, but I have all these things. I think if we could, that would also get some residents talking to other residents, and at least create some sort of buzz around we're having this conversation. If you want to be a part of it, you need to let us know.
I think it would also be helpful if we do end up putting it in an e-news or something, Patrick, to direct people to this report.
Yes.
I think it's important for folks to read it before they start
reacting.
That's our communications program is now linking back to stuff that we're all about increasing engagement.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is an ongoing discussion. Thank you, everybody, for everything you've put into this. I know that this is an important issue for everybody. So thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to the next one. So there's no vote next time. Ongoing discussion. Item number four, environmental audit for US 278 Complete Street Project, is a request for approval of up to $59,000 for Stantec as an add-on service for required environmental work.
Yes. So we've discussed at numerous meetings the possibility for what we've been terming cost overrun items for the 278 project that aren't currently covered by the two sources of grant funding that we have allocated to this project, one of them being the following. GDOT is requiring environmental work to be done on five of the sites that were acquired as a part of the right-of-way acquisition phase of this project. The requirement would include drilling at each of these five sites. We believe that's going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $43,000. And of course, if there are any findings and an additional report would have to be made, that cost could increase by another $15,000. However, Stantec has, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Shannon, but Stantec has agreed to pick up that cost if it were to come to it. So we think that the cost for this work is going to be in the neighborhood of $43,000-$44,000.
Okay. I really have no questions. Anybody up here?
Would that come from the lower $5 million we have in the capital budget for the Complete Streets project?
No. So this would come from the additional capital funds that we have in the capital fund. Mm-hmm. So if y'all recall, we did not budget $2 million projected dollars in that fund. That would be the source.
Yep.
Okay.
However, there's always a chance that I just can't promise this, that this could be also picked up by later grant funding.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this something we would vote on next time?
Yes.
What is the date of the next meeting, if you don't mind?
The date of the next meeting is May the 10th.
So we would be voting on this May 10th?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions up here?
Does this slow us down at all, the May 10th, as far as getting does this slow us down from going from getting started on the project?
No. I mean, what do you mean getting started on the project? The drilling?
As far as getting the 278, because we
anticipate about an 8-week delay.
Is this something that we can approve as a consent vote in the work session, or does it have to be, if we all agree, so from a timing standpoint, we don't wait 2 weeks?
Would that be helpful?
Would that be helpful?
To do it now?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that? Then we change the rules so that we could do that?
That's just for the three readings.
That's for an ordinance.
Well, yeah, so two readings, but...
So we'll be fine and not incur any delay if we... take the item up at the May 10th meeting.
Okay.
It'll be okay. We're
not expedited if we were to take
That's correct. Time.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
But appreciate the suggestion. Okay. All good up here? Okay. Item number 5, Northwoods Phase 2 contract approval. You want me to read it?
Sure.
An amount of $1,152,396 is requested to contract with JLC Construction to build phase 2 of Northwoods project. Contingency of $115,000 is also being requested for a total cost of $1,276,396.
So, yes. Anything to add? Yeah, so... $970,000 was budgeted in our capital program for phase 2 of this project. As you can see, the bid for the project came in slightly over that projected budget. However, in the next item up for tonight, y'all will be happy to hear that the Department of Natural Resources has agreed to increase the amount of the 319 grant that was associated with this project by another $188,357. And the match requirement is already fulfilled because it's part of the original budget. So we're incredibly grateful to the Georgia Department of Natural Resources for increasing that grant funding, because now the increase over budget for the project is hopefully going to be absorbed in totality by the increase in grant funding. We're also requesting some contingency funds, but we're hoping that we do not need to use those funds.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So any questions up here? All right. So we would approve this contract at the next meeting on May 10th?
Correct.
Okay. And that leads into our last item of discussion, grant funding for Northwoods Project. Staff is asking us to accept $188,357 in additional money from the Department of Natural Resources, request a commitment to allocate an additional $75,343 as the local match, which is already budgeted in the Stormwater Fund. So, again, we would vote on that. I'm not sure which we'd vote on first, but we'd vote on that as well
The next meeting on May 10th.
That's correct.
Anything to add?
No. We're very happy with how this project shook out. We were nervous that the bid would come in far higher than it did. And again, I want to extend my gratitude and staff's gratitude to the Georgia Department of Natural Resources for this increased grant funding opportunity.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
And just to reiterate, this will be the rain gardens and the trail?
Yes.
Okay. Which again are being put in to mitigate, what's the 50 cent word? Eutrophication, or what's the lake filling up with silt. There's a fancy word for it that I can never remember.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think it's, you were close.
You're close.
Correct.
Eutrophication.
Can you remind me again how this project will take?
Kristen, do you have an estimate for construction timeline?
The contract, it says in 260 days. Well, there's obviously contingencies built into that. So around 200 ideally, but max 260.
Thank you.
And will the trails be similar to the phase one trail or the trail around the lake?
All trails will be slate except for a small section that will be a wooden boardwalk.
Will they have the granite edging like we have around the lake?
No, it will be the same. Actually, the piece of Northwoods phase one, it is just the metal strip, so it'll be more similar to phase one and not the current lake trail. But this is in the woods, so a granite piece in the woods would take up more space.
And as Kristen concludes her comments, I want to let the board know that she did a tremendous amount of legwork with multiple contractors and engineers to ensure that we were able to do the project at its current scope with the resources that we have available. So I want to extend my kudos to Kristen.
Thank you.
Okay. So any other questions, concerns on item number 6? Kind of covered in 5, but okay. All good up here? Mm-hmm. Any public comment on the items we have discussed this evening? Yes, sir.
Bill Hover, 89 Berkeley Road. I just wanted to get have someone repeat the time frame for the Northwoods phase two. It's going to be done by start and be done by when at this point?
The contract calls for a 260 day construction period from the execution of the agreement. But as Kristen said, that has some contingencies built in. We're hoping it would be about a 200 day project, but just don't know.
Not sure when it's going to start.
May 19th.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
I mean, that's assuming they adopt the contract, right? Which they have not done.
We're still kind of,
Yeah.
So, any comments out there in Zoom land? All right. Seeing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Brian, do I have a second?
Second.
Please, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.